this story of Marilyn, of course, I've always believed that something happened to her very tragically, and it wasn't suicide, or it was something far beyond that. It seems that your mother knew exactly what happened, but she never revealed the names to the family, did she, June?
No, she didn't, George. The reason was, Joe asked her, my father Tom asked her, and my mother was always known as Lee. And I asked her, and she simply said, I'll never tell, because I want you all to live. And that's when she was dying. I said, Mommy, who murdered Marilyn? She says, I'll never tell. I want you to live. And she was murdered, because my mother heard her speak the names of who murdered her. I don't know if there was one or two people, and then she dropped the phone. But my mother was the last phone call she made. And she made it to my mother because she was getting ready to remarry Joe on the 8th. And instead, I went to her funeral.
It was so sad. Actually, June, believe it or not, now we talk about this timeline that the housekeeper found her at 3:30 in the morning. Well, let's back up a little bit, because June actually had someone knocking on her door between 11 and 12, right, June?
Yes.
And that was the police. And they came to find Joe DiMaggio. They said, how can we find Joe DiMaggio? And what did you tell them, June?
Well, they said to me, can we speak to Joe DiMaggio? And I said, why? I said, why? And they said, Marilyn Monroe committed suicide. I said, no way. I was in such shock. I called my mother, and she was crying on the phone in San Francisco. I was in Los Angeles at the time, and I called her, and she was crying.
She already knew.
Yeah, she must have been in shock. Now, the names that Marilyn blurted out, or the name, is it your impression from your mother, June, that that person or persons, the name she mentioned, were in the room trying to kill her, or do you think she knew who may have sent the killers to get her?
I think they were the killers, but I have no idea who they might be. I haven't one conception at all, because Marilyn did not have an enemy, and she was so happy that day because she called me at 10 in the morning, Junie, would you make me an anchovy pizza? I said, okay. I was on my way to play tennis with my boyfriend. And I said, okay, I'll make you the pizza. I made the pizza, knocked at her door just before 11. And she was so happy, put her arms around me and said, I'm going to call Lee, that's my mother, to go to Mexico with me and buy wrought iron furniture for our new home. And I gave her the pizza and I left. And the rest...
Doesn't sound like someone who was contemplating suicide.
Oh,
that's for
no.
Sure.
She had no. Oh, no way. She was so happy. She was thrilled.
And also, George, just for your knowledge to it, and this is the reason I find this the book and the writing of this book and putting the pieces together so fascinating. Just recently, and this is not even in the book, so I'm giving you an exclusive here, I just found another gentleman. What he has in the book are the funeral photos in the back. And he was only one of two photographers who was allowed to take photos at the funeral to roam loose. I mean, they had a lot of media, but they were all cordoned off behind a fence. And his name is Gene Anthony. And just recently I did an interview with him, and he told me that he got a call. Now, remember, they said they found her at 3:30, and the police came at 4:30. Well, Gene got a call at 2 a.m. California time. He was living in San Francisco at the time. From his agent in New York, who had already gotten a call from a German magazine to say, get Gene down to Hollywood, Marilyn is dead. Now, excuse me, how could she have found the body at 3:30 in the morning when Gene got a call at 2 a.m. that she was already dead?
Yeah, very, very puzzling timeline, I'll tell you that. Why do you think she was murdered? Mary Jane, let's let you start.
I have no idea.
Well, I did have an investigation, and being a reporter and an anchor and then also a talk show, and the curiosity, George, that you and I have as talk show hosts.
Sure.
I actually ran into a gentleman by the name of Kim Fahey, F-A-H-E-Y. He wrote a book called Hollywood Unlisted, and I had him on my talk show, my radio talk show. And I was kind of curious. They never said anything about Marilyn. And after the interview, about the second time I interviewed him, because he had fascinating stories, as a Hollywood repairman, he was a telephone repairman. And he was like a fly on the wall. Who pays attention to a telephone repairman when they're in your house or in your business? And he heard a lot. And so I said, you know, do you know any stories about Marilyn? I'm just at the end of, you know, finishing up this book with June DiMaggio. And he said, funny you should ask. I was at a Tascadero, which is a mental institution on the coast of California. And he said it was around 1980, 81, somewhere around there. And I was repairing phones. He was supposed to be there like 2 or 3 days. He said about the second or third day, this gentleman comes up to him and says, you know, hey, buy me lunch. I've got a story for you. Now, he was an inmate. So he said, hey, what the heck? You know, it was worth it in the cafeteria. So he went and had some lunch, and this gentleman told him a story that just totally blew me away. Now, the guy, he said, was totally, he said, as sane as you and I sitting across the table. He said that he was one of the two people who did murder Marilyn, not only killed, but murdered Marilyn, and it was to get the diary. Now, a lot of people say there was a diary or say not a diary, but he did say that they were going there to get the diary. He was sent by the Giancana family out of Chicago, Sam Giancana, and it was to shut her up, basically to shut her up. Now, to be honest with you, George, by today's standards, that diary was probably the most benign thing you'd ever see. But at that time, you know, they remember the television series they used to have, even on the Dick Van Dyke Show, they had twin beds, for heaven's sake. You had to have your feet on the floor. So he actually, they stalked her for several days to find out what her routine was. They actually made duplicates of her keys so they could get in. They did get in very quietly after they stalked her. They found out that her routine was generally to take, you know, a glass of wine or alcohol of some sort, kind of relax, maybe with a Nembutal. She would just then kind of watch television, so she'd be a little sleepy. So they knew that when they got in, it was so easy to get on top of her, and according to him, it was a suppository, a Nembutal suppository.